I was upset the other day. I was upset because my favorite newscaster made a mistake. I was upset when I heard that NBC Nightly News anchor, Brian Williams, embellished a story about an attack on his helicopter, which actually never happened. I was upset because I liked watching Brian Williams on the nightly news. He seemed like a genuine, caring, and knowledgeable man. It made me sad to think that somebody who gets so much attention already would put his credibility on the line to draw even more attention to himself. That didn't work out for him, and now he's not on the news. Mr. Williams was at the pinnacle of fame, yet there was something within him that desired an even greater amount of notoriety. Mr. Williams betrayed himself by choosing fame over truth. His fall points out a reality in all of us. All of us have the capacity to sacrifice the truth over what is important to us. Where have we betrayed ourselves by choosing what is important to us over the truth? Some sacrifice the truth for money. Others sacrifice the truth for a relationship. People sacrifice the truth for safety, comfort, advancements in a job, romance, their reputation, or public acclaim. We all have the capacity to sacrifice the truth for what is important to us. And what makes it even harder to resist is when other people are looking, and even more so, seeking to win the approval of God while doing it. These are giant-sized pitfalls in the human condition. Thankfully, the heart of contempt comes to light most clearly in the presence of Jesus. Jesus tells this parable to some people who trusted in their own righteousness more than they trusted in God. He told this parable to those who looked with contempt on those around them, whom they judged to be less than righteous than themselves. Jesus begins, two men were going to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. They are going to the temple to receive justification in their faith before God. Let's start with the Pharisee. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were men whose lives exceeded the demands of the law. They lived in close adherence to the ethical code of their faith. They believed that living according to the letter of the law was how they were to please God and to receive God's favor. Consequently, they looked down on those who were more lax in their practice of their faith. Let me be clear, the Pharisee is not a villain. The Pharisee does not have it in for the temple. He loves the temple. It is his arrogance that gets him into trouble. The Pharisee is standing by himself when he prays. He wants to maintain his purity by being far away from those whom he sees as unclean. And further, he presumes that God will look favorably on his good deeds, especially when compared to those around him. That was the whole point of why he went to the temple, to make himself look better than everybody else. He is full of self-confidence before God. Peter Jones categorizes this story as the peril of presumptuous prayer. The Pharisee's prayer is self-serving. Listen to this. He thanks God for not being like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. His contempt for others makes him blind to his own pride. He is so absorbed by his own virtue that he fails to see his need for forgiveness. He does not honor God by giving a tithe and fasting. He honors himself. There is no evidence of repentance in his prayer, only contempt. The Pharisee is putting his credibility on the line before God by trying to look better than other people. He sacrifices truth for who he is, for his own self-righteousness. He fails to see the truth about himself. One person who resisted the temptation to place herself above others was Eleanor Roosevelt. In 1946, shortly after the death of her husband, President Franklin Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt was accosted by an admirer who went on and on and on about how great of a person she is. President Harry Truman even called her the First Lady of the World in tribute to her human rights achievements. To all of this, Mrs. Roosevelt said with a smile, "I'm so glad I never feel important. It makes life so complicated." Jesus is about to shed some light on the Pharisee's attitude. Life for the Pharisee is about to get complicated when Jesus reveals to him that he is not the one justified before God. One does not earn righteousness. It is a gift. Christ is the one who justifies us. Christ makes us right with God. Let's move to the tax collector. Who were the tax collectors? They were known as publicans. Tax collectors were employed by the Roman government. They collected taxes from their own people. They were participants in a cruel and corrupt system that took advantage of people. Tax collectors were perceived politically as traitors to their country. They were religiously unclean. They could not be trusted. What they did was offensive to their neighbors. They were viewed as the worst of sinners. It is no wonder that the tax collector is standing far off when he prays. Nobody wants to be around him. He is looking down at the ground, beating his breast as a sign of his remorse. He knows that he is not a righteous man. He knows he has made a mistake and that he deserves to be punished by God for the way that he lives his life. His prayer is a confession of his unworthiness before God. What I like about that movie clip is that the tax collector begins to cry as Jesus speaks directly to him. The tax collector's prayer is known as the Jesus Prayer. The tax collector prays, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." After the Lord's Prayer, this is the most practiced Christian prayer in the world. This prayer echoes Psalm 51, which we read at our Ash Wednesday service. Psalm 51 begins, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." In the movie Shadowlands, there is a scene between C.S. Lewis and his good friend Harry. When C.S. Lewis' wife enters into a time of remission from bone cancer, Harry says to his friend Lewis, "I know how hard you've been praying, and now God is answering your prayer." C.S. Lewis replies, "That is not why I pray. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes me." Have you ever had a time in your life that you felt so lost, so confused, so desperate, so in need that your cries to God flowed out of you at all hours of the day and night? I imagine Keith and Abby have felt like that recently. C.S. Lewis prays out of a sense of helplessness. He doesn't pray to change God, but maybe if he throws himself into the mercy of God's arms, his prayer will change himself. This is the attitude of the tax collector. The tax collector has an attitude of humility. Pastor John E. Freeman of the United AME Church in Xenia said last week at the community men's breakfast, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." It takes great humility to come before God in desperation, to admit that we can't help ourselves and to confess that we don't know what else to do. That takes great humility. Reverend Billy Graham has spoken to over 2.2 billion people worldwide. He has prayed with presidents. His crusades have brought millions of people to Christ. Yet with all his accomplishments, his prayer is the same. I've heard Billy Graham offer this prayer in person twice at his crusades. And if you'd like, you can pray it with me now. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. I've seen on the internet pictures of 10 million, like pastors who own like $10 million houses. I believe it is the humility of Billy Graham that sets him apart from other well-known evangelists. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Pharisee asks for nothing. The tax collector boasts of nothing. Jesus says that it is not the Pharisee who will be exalted. Rather, it is the tax collector who has got it right. The Pharisee separated himself from others and boasted of his virtue. The tax collector stood far off and declared his sinfulness. The Pharisee returned home without being made righteous, while the tax collector was accepted before God. Those who trust in their own righteousness will regard others with contempt, and those who regard others with contempt cannot bring themselves to rely on God's grace. Persons who exalt themselves over others and boast of their own virtue before God will discover that they have cut themselves off from God and from others. Persons aware of their need for grace and forgiveness will be more likely to show mercy to others. This is the paradox of grace that we pray when we say the Lord's Prayer. We pray, forgive us of our sins as we forgive others, as we forgive those who sin against us. Grace can only be received when it is shown. Only those who forgive will be forgiven. Only the merciful will receive mercy. I commend to you to live a virtuous life. By all means, tithe, fast, do good works in the name of Jesus. But remember, there is more to it than that. Most importantly, live a life of humility. Humility helps people resist the temptation of seeing themselves as better than others. May humility confront the attitude of the Pharisee that lives in all of our hearts. Remember that God loved you so much that he gave his one and only Son as the price of your redemption. May we see in Christ the way to love God and all God's children more fully. Amen.